It was on a hillside, many miles away from here, many years in the past, that Jesus asked a multitude of people who had gathered, "What good is it and what reward do you receive if you simply love those who love you?" Later in that same lesson, you can find it recorded for you in Matthew's Gospel account, chapter 6, he would ask that same crowd, "Which of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life?" On the wet, soaked deck of a ship in Mark chapter 4, Jesus would ask His disciples, as they stood shivering, quaking, afraid of the experience they had just endured, "Why are you so fearful? How do you not have faith?" He would ask His earthly parents, Mary and Joseph, in Luke chapter 2, after a rather harrowing episode after they had lost Him and found Him again there in the temple, "Did you not know that I would be about my Father's business?" He would ask Peter, James, and John in the garden, "Could you not watch for 1 hour?" And just last week, we saw Him ask another question of a Samaritan woman that He met at a well. "Will you give me something to drink?" Over and over again throughout the life of Christ, throughout His ministry, we see recorded for us question after question which He asked. Not in terms of making someone look bad, not in terms of hoping that they would feel bad about what they said and what they did, but rather He asked a question for the simplest of all reasons, that He might teach and that He might instruct. We see time and time again throughout that ministry of Christ, throughout those inquisitorial sessions which He held, we see where He challenged the thinking of the modern day. He changed minds. He changed lives. He changed eternal destinations for thousands, and by this point, millions of people. Today, as we continue our examination of John's beautiful and instructional gospel account, we come to John chapter 5. If you've got your Bibles, I want to encourage you, open up there. We'll be examining the passage which Jackie just read for us. As we come to John chapter 5, there is a question that is asked in this context, and I'm going to submit this to you up front. It is a question that, quite frankly, on first examination, does not make any sense whatsoever. We find the account is built around an encounter that took place between Jesus and a man with an infirmity. We find that Jesus has made His way along with His entourage to Jerusalem. And as they've come in, they've come in, and it tells us of a pool that exists there at the Sheep Gate. This pool, we're told by archaeologists, was a divided pool. In one half of it, the sheep would be washed. In the other half, there was a spot for bathing by the people. Now what John chapter 5 specifically brings out to us is that the sick of the city, the sick of the region would gather there. Those who were blind, those who were sick, those who were lame, those who were paralyzed, would make their way to this pool in hopes of receiving a miracle. Because there's no other word we could attach to it, is there? A miracle by bathing in the pool, a miracle that the blindness would be healed, that the sickness would be taken away, that the lameness would disappear, that the paralyzation would end. These folks gathered in hopes of receiving that miracle. The question that Jesus asks is found in verse number 6. And the question is, do you want to be made well? That's the question that we're going to examine this morning. I've already told you, on the surface, as you first come to this, it really doesn't make sense. He's asking this of a man who is laying beside this pool. He's asking this of a man who has been sick with an illness for quite some time. But He's asking this question for a reason, and there are still echoes of an application that we can make to our lives this very day if we will simply take the time to hear the question, to examine our lives, and to change that which needs to be changed. Here's my hope and my prayer for you this morning. As we continue our study of the book of John, as we come to this question which Jesus asked, I want you to hear it for what it is. Not a sarcastic remark, not a snarky comment, not a question meant to belittle, not a question meant to put down, but it is a question meant to cause examination, self-examination. It is a question that is designed to help you truly get to the heart of the problems that you are experiencing in your life, be it physical, be it mental, be it emotional, or yes, be it spiritual. Do you want to be made well? This morning I've got two applications, two lessons, two ideas I want us to examine. I want you to keep your Bibles open right there to John chapter 5, because we're going to spend almost the exclusivity of this lesson right there in this one opening. I want you to keep it open, and I want you to, as we did last week, you'll recall that we stood beside that well with that woman. I want you this time, stand beside this pool. Stand beside this pool of Bethesda. Stand beside it with me, and let's hear what it is that Jesus is really saying to this one who had a sickness. First of all, let's begin with this question. Is what you're doing working? Is what you're doing working? Begin with me there in verse number 6. We see that Jesus, this is where He asked the question, right? Do you want to be made well? Let's pause there. Let me give you a little bit of a modern day rusty example, a rusty illustration, if you will. I'll tell you why this seemingly on the surface, first glance, right out the box, why this does not make sense to me. I have been blind now for 32 years of my life. If someone came to me today and said, "You want to see?" I would actually answer him this way. As long as when I get my vision back, I don't have to drive, yes, I want to see. I've just gotten back from a trip to Georgia, and that means that we've just come back off of I-75. You all can have that. I don't want that. I like the passenger seat just fine. But in all seriousness, someone asked, "Rusty, do you want to see?" I would say, "Well, duh. Yes. The opportunity to be able to see my wife for the first time? Absolutely. To be able to see Katie and Hadley without a mental image, but instead with my own two eyes? What a glorious day that would be. The opportunity to be able to go to Tennessee, go out to 5579 Highway 78, and be able to look my dad in the eye again? I could not wait for that moment. To maybe go up to the top of the hill, as we call it, hug my grandfather, and look at him. Wow. What an opportunity. To go out, and though I can never, on this side of eternity, see her face again, kneel down and read my mother's headstone. Are you kidding me? I would not pass up that opportunity. But here's the deeper question that we might miss if we just glance at the question Jesus asks. Here He says, do you want to be made well? I want you to read a deeper question there. What are you doing to be made well? There's your question. Here's what this man has been doing, because this man has been sick for a long time. Jesus Himself sees that there in verse 6. This was a man, according to John chapter 5, verse number 5, had been sick for some 38 years. Longer than I've been blind, this man's been dealing with this issue. To ask, well, do you want to see Rusty? Absolutely I do. To ask this man, do you want to be made well? Well, of course he does. But what are you doing? Is what you're doing really working to make you that way? I'll tell you this, and this may come as a shock to you, may not, I don't know. I don't go to the eye doctor. I don't make regular ophthalmologist appointments. I don't call up the greatest eye physicians of the day and say, I want to come in and I want to see you because I'm looking for you to fix it. And I'll tell you why. Simple reason. When I was a kid, beginning at the age of 8, up through roughly, I don't know, I'll be generous and say through the age of 14, Mom and Dad and I, we made several treks to Memphis, to Jackson, out to Dyersburg, to see ophthalmologist after ophthalmologist. Well, we talked to specialist after specialist, talking to people who had helped to cure and to fix many, many different eye conditions. But you know what happened after a while? I kept showing up these appointments with the idea, this right here, John, this was going to be the one. This time they fix it. This time I come out, and you know what? Time after time, I left with my eyes dilated. I left with the funny-looking glasses. But time after time, I walked away disappointed. So finally, you know what? I said, when they cure it, I'll hear and I'll go. Because what we were doing wasn't getting the vision back. Instead, what was happening was I was simply getting depressed every single time. You keep showing up thinking, I'll see this time, I'll see this time, I'll see this time. 16's right around the corner. A car is in my future. Nope, sorry. You're going to go away to the Tennessee School for the Blind. You're going to learn Braille. You're going to learn cane travel. You're going to learn how to take MTA buses from point A to point B. Tell you what, eventually it does, it tears down your hope. Here this man has been coming time after time after time after time, wanting to get in the pool. But he says himself there in verse number 7, I can't get there. Why? Because no man will pick me up and put me in it. He lies there in his infirmity, with other people who are blind, who are sick, who are of other needs, stepping in ahead of him every time that the water would ripple. He can't get in there. Jesus asked him, is what you're doing working? Do you want to be made well? I've had the lesson for the most part on this side of the table so far. Can I now bring all of you in? Is what you're doing in your spiritual life working? You say, Rusty, I'm down. Is what you're doing working? Rusty, I'm depressed. Is what you're doing working? Rusty, I'm a sinner. Is what you're doing working? Because here's the thing. Each of us sins. Consider with me Isaiah chapter 53. In particular, we're going to note for just a moment verse number 6. I want you to really hear what Isaiah said years and years before the birth of Christ. Listen, read what it was that Isaiah had to say as he made this great prophecy. All, how many? All of us are like sheep that have gone astray. But it's this next part I want you to notice. All right, automatically, remember, we're all in the boat together. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. That doesn't exclude any of us. It doesn't mean that, well, the preacher's up there, he must be overly righteous. Nope, nope, nope. Well, the elders, we've given them these titles, so they must be perfect. No. The deacons, they serve. They must be perfect and without blemish. No. All of us, we all are like sheep that have gone astray. Notice the next part. We have turned. Every one to his own way. Folks, we've got this condition. We've got this sickness. We've got this thing that we deal with, this situation. We've got this sin. We've got this iniquity. All of us do. And unfortunately, so many try to handle it in their own way. They say, well, if I sacrifice this, that'll be enough. If I slaughter this, it'll be enough. If I simply avoid that, it'll be okay. All of us. All of us are like sheep. All of us, we all have gone astray. And yes, we all have turned. Everyone to his own way. I ask you as we conclude this first point, is what you're doing working? Is it changing your life? Is it improving your situation? Is what you're doing making a difference? Do you really, if I may be so bold, do you want to be made well? Now, let's pause. Because if your answer to that question is yes, I want to be made well, then I would like to present to you our second and final point for this morning. It's another question. Are you ready to try something better? Are you ready to try something better? Now, let's get this out up front. This something better is not your way. It's not your concept. It's not your idea. It's not your theory. It's not your supposition. It's not your wants. It's not your wishes. It's not your desires. It's not what you've thought all your life. It's not what you say, well, my parents said. No, it's not that either. It's not what the preacher says. It's not what the elders say. It's not what the deacon does. Instead, it's what the Bible says. It's what Jesus says. Now, I want you to notice, again, let's go back to John chapter 5. He's asked the man, Do you want to be made well? The man does. He makes it clear there in verse 7, yes, I do, but I can't have no man to take me to the pool. Notice how Jesus simplifies the situation so much. Look at verse number 9. This is beautiful, and before I tell you what 9 says, let me make sure to set the scene for you. Because from this blind man's perspective, this scene plays out so beautifully. Here's a man who for 38 years has had this infirmity. Here's a man who day after day, time after time, has shown up at a pool waiting on, hoping for, wishing for a miracle. This is a man who time and time again, when the water rippled, wanted, yearned, longed to get in that water. This is a man who time and time again found himself disappointed and left to the side. Now, with no trip to the pool required. Now, with no need of a man to pick him up and to carry him anywhere. Now, Jesus simplifies the process. He says to this man, rise. Take your bed and walk. He simplifies it in the way that only Jesus can. He strips away all of the I thinks. He strips away all of the I wants. He strips away all of the well, this is the way it's all. No, He strips all of that away. Gone are the days of preparing the goats, and gone are the days of bringing the sheep. Instead, Jesus strips it away and says, do you want to be made well? Because what you're doing is not working, but the way I have prepared, it will work. So you know what he says? He says, rise. He says to the man who has been infirmed, rise. He says to the man that has been sick, rise. He says to the man that has laid there disappointed down and out for so long, rise, take your bed. He says to the man, walk. There are those of you who are sitting in this room today. You're dealing with sin. It's on your back. It's the issue that you struggle with. It's the temptation that you battle. It's whatever that's holding you back. You're sitting there today. And even as I'm talking, even as the Word of God is being brought before you on a silver platter placed in your lap with a napkin around your neck and just waiting to be feasted upon, you're sitting there right now and you're fighting. The Bible has something to say to you as well. It's found over in Revelation chapter 22. It's found near the end of that great and amazing revelation which was given to John, and praise God it was passed on to us. For where would we be without this? But there in verse 17, here's what is said to you. You who struggle, you who battle, you who are all like sheep gone astray, you who have turned everyone to your own ways, you for whom the iniquity of us all, Isaiah 53:6, was placed upon His back. Here's what the Spirit and the Bride say to you. You know what it is? Come. To you who hear, say, come. To the one who is here and is thirsty. Now, by the way, that doesn't mean thirsty as in physically thirsty. This is the one of you who finds yourself this morning with a parched spiritual mouth. You need water that can't be provided by that water fountain in the foyer. You need instead that living water which Jesus spoke of to the woman at the well. To you, He says, come. There's those of you who are here today and you're desiring the water of life. To you, God says, come. It is freely given, procured and provided by the death of Christ upon the cross. I ask you a question which Jesus asked of the man in John 5. You who are here today, do you want to be made well? Is what you're currently doing working? If what you're doing is anything other than following Christ, then I'm going to tell you it's not working. If what you're doing is anything other than following His Word, I'm going to tell you what you're doing, it's not working. If what you're doing is living your life for anything other than God and hoping that miraculously, wondrously, everything will just improve, sin will be taken away, emotional distress will be relieved, and oh, praise God, mental anguish is out the door, it's not working. But to you He says, come. Not to the preacher, not to the elders. He says, come to Him. To you, He still says today, rise. Take your bed and walk. Walk not in old paths laden with sin. Walk not in the way that you have walked to this point. Walk not with the body of that old man draped across you like the corpse that it is. But instead, walk in newness of life, Romans chapter 6. Walk in His marvelous light. Why? For you've been called out of darkness. Today, He still says, come. Do you want to be made well? If you're here this morning and we can help you in any way to answer that question, we invite, we encourage, we exhort, we plead, and we beg. Won't you come? As together we stand and sing the song of invitation.